The Alaska Supreme Court has granted a request by the state and energy companies to drop its review of a case involving disputed leases on the Point Thompson gas field. ExxonMobil Corporation, which operates the Point Thompson unit, and other interest owners, including BP Exploration Alaska, ConocoPhillips, and Chevron, joined the state in asking that the review of the case by the High Court be dropped. The parties had been working toward a settlement, but there were no details of any settlement either in the request for dismissal or the Supreme Court's order. An Exxon spokesman refused to comment. It's highly unlikely that Alaskans will get to see the likes of Xena Warrior Princess chained to a Shell drill ship this summer. U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason has granted an injunction that would prevent Greenpeace protesters from coming near shore oil vessels while they're within 12 nautical miles of the U.S. coastline. If Greenpeace protesters try to board Shell's assets like Lucy Lawless recently did in New Zealand, a court could find them in contempt and levy a heavy fine and even require jail time. They also cannot go within a kilometer of their two drill ships or within 500 meters of Shell's 20-odd support vessels. Curtis Smith, a spokesperson for Shell, says he's pleased the court is upholding a restraining order. For its part, Greenpeace said earlier this month that it did not have any plans to come up to Alaska, and their deputy campaign director yesterday said this injunction won't really have any practical effect on them. Dan Howell says that the environmental group is more focused on blocking Arctic drilling through litigation. He was, however, frustrated by the injunction and thought it was excessive that Greenpeace protesters would be required to maintain a kilometer distance from Shell's drill ships. Shell will be bringing 22 assets up to Unalaska in June in preparation for exploratory drilling in the Beaufort Sea. The Coast Guard has already made plans to ramp up their presence in the community to limit the risk of protesters shutting down the port of Dutch Harbor. The co-chairman of the state Senate's Finance Committee says he would like to have a rewritten oil tax bill in committee by the end of next week. Senator Bert Stedman says there will be significant changes to the current version of Senate Bill 192. The focus is expected to be on a fair split of profit between the state and companies and boosting incremental production. Next week marks the start of the last 2 weeks of the 90-day session. The House has been waiting for a bill, and the House Resources Committee has been holding overview hearings on issues related to the tax debate to get up to speed for when a bill finally comes over. Senate leaders have said they won't be rushed on a bill of such importance. Meanwhile, Senate President Gary Stevens says Parnell's plan to cut oil taxes is a historic gamble with Alaskans' money that would give away billions of dollars in revenue to industry on a wing and a prayer. Stevens defended the Senate's deliberate approach on taxes during a speech to the Chamber of Commerce yesterday. He questioned what would happen after this year's elections if Alaska had a governor willing to give industry billions of dollars with no firm commitments, a House that falls all over itself to do the industry's bidding, and no Senate to question whether this is wise policy. The Senate has a bipartisan majority, and Stevens said he's heard people say they're not worried if the legislature does not change taxes this year because they'll have a friendlier Senate next year. The State House yesterday voted 30-7 in favor of a resolution calling for a statewide vote on a constitutional amendment that would set up a dedicated transportation fund. Sponsor Peggy Wilson, a Wrangell Republican, says the fund would provide more financial stability for transportation projects. She says Alaska could have problems paying for infrastructure if state revenue and federal assistance decline as expected.
The state really needs a reliable revenue stream that doesn't fluctuate from year to year. With a dedicated fund, Alaska can implement a transportation plan that is independent from the federal government.
Under Wilson's plan, the transportation fund would get money from sources such as state license plate fees and motor fuel taxes. In addition, the legislature could add money to the fund. Anchorage Representative Les Guerra was one of seven minority Democrats to vote against the resolution. He believes a dedicated transportation fund would compete with other state needs.
By the time we took the most popular priorities and said, let's have a fund for each one of those, there's no money to address the things that don't get the public attention that we need, like energy projects, like revenue sharing so we can help communities fund their local needs, like children's services, like heating assistance for communities that have very, very high heating costs.
Guerra said the state would be better served by the legislature continuing to prioritize spending every year based on available revenue. The resolution will come up for a final reconsideration vote today. Alaska's congressional delegation yesterday introduced legislation in both the House and Senate to rename Juneau's federal court facilities in honor of the late Judge Robert Boutchever, who passed away in October at the age of 94. Boutchever moved to Juneau in 1946 to serve as an assistant U.S. attorney. He later became the fourth Chief Justice of the Alaska Supreme Court, and in 1980 was the first Alaskan appointed to the federal Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. When he wasn't practicing law here in Juneau, he was involved in several community groups, including the Red Cross, the Chamber of Commerce, the Juneau Rotary. Legislation to name Juneau's federal courtroom after Boutchever comes as the U.S. Justice Department is considering closing at least 60 federal courthouses nationwide, including Juneau's. As Juneau's blustery wind blew in a cold driving rain yesterday, a huge crowd gathered at the state capitol to choose respect. Kotzebue Representative Reggie Jewell viewed the change in weather as an opportunity.
We have a day like today in Juneau, in southeast, where the strongest of the southeast winds, the Taku, while it makes us shiver, it's here to help us to carry this message all across Alaska. It's a strong message. It has to be taken to everyone's heart.
The capital city was one of about 80 communities around Alaska to host events as part of Governor Sean Parnell's initiative to raise awareness of domestic violence and sexual assault. Before the week is out, 123 communities will have a Choose Respect march or rally. The governor kicked off the Fairbanks rally and deployed his commissioners to communities around the state. Lieutenant Governor Mee Treadwell led the Juneau event.
We want all people to thrive in Alaska. We want Alaska to lead, but we should not lead in the statistics, the grim statistics of sexual assault, domestic violence, and hurting our children. We've got to turn that around.
Anchorage Representative Anna Faircloth gave some of those grim statistics.
In Alaska, compared to America and other states across our nation, women are 2.5 times more likely to be raped during their lifetime. Children, whom we all love and want to see grow to be happy, healthy, protected individuals, are 6 times more likely to experience child abuse in the state of Alaska.
The crowd included more than 30 members of Juneau's Thunder Mountain High School boys basketball team and their head coach, John Blasco. 2 years ago, Blasco introduced the Coach Boys Into Men program to his players, which teaches respective peers how to be accountable for one's actions, to value relationships, avoid physical violence, and abstain from using derogatory language. And before yesterday's rally started, the State House approved House Concurrent Resolution 28, which proclaims April to be Sexual Assault Awareness Month.